Reading today comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Okay. So for us to frame what's next for us, what's next for Bairnsdale Baptist Church, we need to ask the question, what mission does Jesus give us as his people? God's word gives us an enormous amount of instruction of how to live our lives in response to him. But the question is there a fundamental overarching mission that God gives us together as his people? So a God-given mission that dictates what is next for us. Well, Jesus makes it abundantly clear. Liz just read it out, and I'm sure we've all heard this before. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, we read in Acts, to be witnesses to the rest of the world. For what? For this mission. To go and make disciples. To go and make disciples. So there are all sorts of good things we can do in this world, but what we see here is the biggest blessing we can offer is inviting people into a relationship with Jesus and then helping them grow in that relationship, just like we are. It's important to clear something up here, though, and it's something I've noticed in some of the comments in some of the questionnaires, and I need to apologize if it's something I haven't explained properly before. I want to make it clear that making disciples, as Jesus talks about here, is not just evangelism. Making disciples is not just converting people. It certainly includes that. But making disciples is not just the initial conversion. It's not just making that initial decision to follow Jesus. No, making disciples is about helping people also to more and more follow Jesus. Not just believe in him initially, but continue to grow in their faith in him. And we see it in the Great Commission there itself. Go make disciples, Jesus says. But what does it involve? So Jesus first, he says, first of all, he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we know that baptism is someone publicly declaring that they've begun to follow Jesus. We see that in the New Testament in Acts, with the Philippian jailer, with the Ethiopian on the road. Lots of different people. It's a public declaration that they've begun to follow Jesus, that they've found forgiveness in him, that they've been made new in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're declaring their conversion in baptism, that they've moved from their old life dead in sin to a new life saved by Jesus. So what we see there is Jesus is saying making disciples involves people first coming into a relationship with Jesus, finding salvation in him. So that will mean that making disciples includes evangelism. It includes us sharing the good news of Jesus to the lost around us. But it doesn't stop there. You look back at the Great Commission, what does it say? It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So do you see there in verse 20 the continuing process of making disciples? A disciple is someone who puts their faith in Christ, but then they continue to grow more and more in that faith. It's something we see explained a lot in Scripture. How even though we become disciples of Jesus when we first put our trust in him, for the rest of your life, you are continuing to grow. You're continuing to mature as his disciples. So Colossians 1:28, Paul says this. He says, he, Jesus, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. We see it in Ephesians 4. It talks about us together as the body of Christ, and it says this. It says that then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in the deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And again, Paul frames it slightly differently in Philippians. He says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act, and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So this mission from Jesus to go and make a disciples, it's about proclaiming the good news. It's about bringing people to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but it continues for the rest of a Christian's life. The mission here is to reach the lost, and then when they are found in Christ, to help each other as the body of Christ to mature as disciples. I think that brings a series of questions. And they're questions, as I said earlier, we'll explore them in more detail in the weeks to come after we've gone back and finished our last few chapters of Genesis. But for now, if our mission under Jesus is to make disciples, we have to ask the simple question, well, what is a disciple? If we are Jesus' disciples ourselves, and if our mission together is to make disciples, we need to get a really clear picture of what a disciple actually is, don't we? Alrighty. So we see a whole lot of description there of what a disciple looks like, don't we? So a follower of Jesus, faithful, student, obedient, compassionate, loving. I'm sure we could probably sit here for the next 40 minutes and add more and more words, couldn't we? There's a lot there, isn't there? So this is a picture of what someone should more and more look like after they hear the good news of Jesus. After they're born again, so after they receive God's Spirit, after they receive the forgiveness of sins, so they receive the promise of eternal life through the work of Jesus on the cross. But if you have a look up on that screen right now, I'm sure we all look at some of those descriptions, don't we? And we see some of the areas that we still need a lot of maturing in, yeah? That we, even if you've been a Christian here for 50 years, you still need God to continue growing you, making you more the disciple of Christ that he's called you to be. And we're going to dig into it more soon in the weeks to come of what that looks like more and more. But I've kind of tried to summarize how the Bible there describes a disciple that brings in many things that I can see there already. Here's the definition that I want to start with today. So a disciple is someone, disciple is someone who more and more lives for Jesus. A disciple is someone who more and more lives for Jesus. That's the crux of it, really. A disciple is someone who lives for Jesus. We sung it earlier, lives for his purposes, lives for his glory. And we see Jesus talk about it himself. Luke chapter 9, Jesus, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me, live for me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life, so gives it to him, will save it. So being a disciple here is a picture of someone who has given their life over to Jesus. Now please see there that this idea of giving your life over to Jesus, when Jesus talks about it there in Luke, it's not just a sentimental thing, is it? It's not just, oh, I'm a fan of Jesus. It's not just he's my friend and confidant. It's not just, well, he's with me. No, it's even more than that. It's this radical picture of surrender to Jesus, of this personal and growing surrender to him. What does that actually look like for us? We see descriptions up there, but to flesh it out, I think the Bible shows us this. This is trying to narrow it down to something we can remember. So a disciple of Jesus is someone who more and more lives for Jesus by learning from him, living like him, and leading others to him. Quick explanation of each of those. We're going to delve into them in the weeks to come. So first of all, a disciple is someone who lives for Jesus by learning from him. A lot of you put up their student. The word disciple is not a word we use very often, is it? But the word disciple simply means learner. It means student. As disciples, we live for Jesus, don't we, by learning from him. And when we say learning from him, that's not just a head knowledge we're learning from him. We don't just learn about Jesus. No, we learn Jesus. So it's a relational thing. We know him more and more. Jesus says it himself. Matthew 11. So there we see disciples are those who live for Jesus by learning from him. Secondly, a disciple is someone who lives for Jesus by living like him. We're called to imitate Jesus, aren't we? To live like him. It's a radical life change. And there's so much. You've listed them up on the screen there already. There's so much in the character and actions of Christ, the behavior of Christ, that we are called to imitate in our lives as Christians. But really, the best way to sum it up is how Jesus himself sums it up. So living like him ultimately equals imitating Christ's love. John 13, Jesus says this. He says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. That's imitation. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It's crystal clear there, isn't it? Jesus makes it crystal clear to live for him is to imitate his sacrificial love. That's a picture of a disciple. And thirdly, a disciple is someone who lives for Jesus by leading others to him. I mean, that's already been made clear today in the Great Commission that we read earlier, in the mission Jesus gives us all his people. But what it's saying there is that true disciples are disciples that seek to make disciples. True disciples are disciples that seek to make, and remember that means evangelism, but it also means grow. So true disciples are disciples that seek to encourage and grow disciples. So that's the summary. Disciple of Jesus is someone who more and more, so that by that I mean growing in this, lives for Jesus by learning from him, living like him, leading others to him. But with that in mind, and all the things that you've written already, that leads to another question. Well, how does that actually happen? How are disciples made? So if we're called to be disciples, if we're called to grow as Jesus' disciples, if we're called to make disciples, how does it actually happen? What does God use, and what do we use to bring people into a faith in Jesus and grow them in their faith? So that's the next slide. There's a lot up there. I'll refer to it in a second. But here's just a summary, something I said, again, we'll dig more into deeply in the weeks to come. How are disciples? How are we called to make disciples? So you've got a lot of things there. Relationships is a big one there. And a lot of the other ones are talking within the context of relationships. Prayer, God's word, proclaiming the gospel. A lot of those things, modeling our faith, sharing our faith, setting an example. Alrighty, but first and foremost, how are disciples made? They're made the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's go back to basics to start off with. The Holy Spirit, as we read in God's word, is God's empowering presence that transforms hearts, that reveals Christ, that produces spiritual growth. We read in his word that it's the Spirit that brings new life and faith into people's lives. It's the Spirit that empowers us to witness, to share our faith as well, to share the good news. And it's the Spirit who continues to transform, who teaches and grows disciples. So that's something we're going to delve into the weeks to come. Sorry, no, I keep on saying that. But Scripture also shows us the means, and some of you have touched on there, the means that God gives us to make disciples that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. We as a church, we as God's church, we've got to be faithful to the means he gives us. So what I'm saying there is making disciples for our church, it can't be about developing some new fancy way or some new fancy program to try and make disciples that no one's ever thought about before. No, we need to be faithful to the things that God has wonderfully already equipped us with, along with the power of the Holy Spirit to make disciples. And I think in God's word, and this is a summary, there's a lot of stuff in there that I think is included in this. There's three main means that we see empowered by the Holy Spirit. The first thing is the word of God. Number two is prayer. And the third thing is the fellowship of God's people, so the body of Christ itself. So first up, God's word. So we see in the Bible, God's truth is what the Spirit, so proclaiming the good news, the truth about Jesus, it's what the Spirit uses to make disciples, to change people's hearts. So we need to teach it. We need to proclaim it. Secondly is prayer. It's obvious, isn't it, prayer? But are we a church of prayer, really? Are we praying for the lost? Are we praying for our own maturing as disciples? Because prayer is simply showing dependence on God, showing dependence that the Spirit will work. And thirdly, and it's one probably was most mentioned up here, is the body of Christ, relationships. What it's saying there is church matters. And when I say church, I don't mean the service, I don't mean the programs. I'm talking about the people of God. The local body of Christ is as we live as God's visible community. So as we model our faith, as we share our faith, as we deeply care and love others, as we encourage each other, and we use the gifts given to us by the Spirit, uniquely, each and every one of us, to go out within the body and out further to build up people, to let people know, to build up the body of Christ. So, look, I know that's a lot to digest. I told you we're kind of skimming the surface and going through quite quick. But I just want to collect that all for a moment and for a reason. So what we see here in the Bible is that this is our mission. This is what we should always be doing next for our church. Until Jesus returns, we're called to this mission together simply to make disciples. To be disciples, to make disciples who more and more live for Jesus by learning from him, living like him, leading others to him. And that's when the Holy Spirit works in us and through us to make disciples, where he equips us with God's word, with prayer, dependence on him, and equips us with each other as Christ's body to work in this mission. So I think this is where the rubber hits the road for us today. And we have to ask ourselves individually, but we have to ask ourselves as his church together as well, are we actually doing that? Is that our focus? When many of you filled out the questionnaires, you saw this as the vital need to be a church that's making disciples. But you certainly also highlighted areas of need in this, areas that we need more focus in, areas that need improvement and strengthening. And I'm going to mention some of them in a minute, but I thought I'd ask a similar question here today for everyone. So here we go. So this is the question. In our mission of making disciples, how well do you think BBC is doing with this? So I'm aware that that's not an exhaustive list either of church life, but I think you can already see some areas that we think we're doing well at, some areas that need strengthening, some areas that might need changing. I'll be honest, in the questionnaire, it comes out really clearly as well that people did. I want to point out four areas today. Number one was small groups. So many people in the questionnaire saw the importance of small groups. And number two was welcoming. This was a really mixed bag in the questionnaire. While some people said we were a friendly, welcoming church, there were others that commented that this wasn't everyone's experience. And there was a particular comment that while people might have felt welcome initially, it was often hard to develop that and integrate into church life in a more meaningful way. And that also led to number three, where several people commented on the need to improve how we care, how we love each other, and the community around us. And I need to be the first one to admit that I think this is a weakness in our church too. I'm becoming day by day so much more aware of the deep need, often the deep hurt that people even in our church and also in the wider community are facing. Other than these, the other main discussion that was in the questionnaire was surrounding whether we need to consider another service to both react to and prepare for growth of our Sunday gatherings. And most people were positive about this. Most people thought we're now at or nearing the stage to consider multiple services. But there was also caution in that a lot of people gave, not to do it in a way that repeats previous mistakes or causes disunity. But on a whole, most, not all people, think that multiple services could be a good next step. And I want you to talk about that in a minute, because we need to discuss it more. We need to pray about it more. And I really hope that that's a time we lead into in a few minutes. But first, as we look at God's word, as we look this morning at our God-given mission of making disciples, and then we've seen there some of the areas that people have highlighted, I think there's something here that's clearly emerging. It's this. As we seek what is next for BBC, so as we seek to be a church that more and more makes disciples, we need to be church. We need to be a church of circles, not just rows. Circles, not rows. And that might sound very cryptic, yeah? So let me explain what I mean by that. So often when we have conversations about this, so often when we seek to grow, we just look at how can we make everything a bit bigger. And I'm guilty of it myself. You know, bigger programs, bigger events. So we can convince ourselves that the picture, therefore, of a healthy church is having rows and rows full of people every Sunday. And, you know, on one level, that seems exciting, doesn't it? But disciple-making actually seems to be healthier and it seems to be deeper when it's done in circles, not just in rows. So I'm talking about smaller circles of people who are discipling each other. I'm talking about smaller circles of prayer and even mentoring and that type of thing. Circles, but also circles of people who are serving on this mission together. So circles, I'm talking about teams of people doing ministry together. These circles, here, there, and everywhere, that are welcoming, that are loving each other, and are loving the community around them. So I'm talking about circles, not rows. Hear me correctly, though, when I say circles. Because I'm not talking about having a lot of little kind of holy huddles. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not talking about having insular circles that aren't willing to multiply and have an outward focus and grow. I'm not talking about closed circles that don't think about anything outside of themselves. I'm not talking about small ministry teams that stay small because they want to keep control rather than equipping more and more people to join in the mission. So no holy huddles. Now these circles, they're more like cells. They're more like organisms like cells. They're circles that are on the move. They're circles that are active. They're circles that are life-giving. They're serving in love. They're serving in mission. They're making disciples. And they're circles that sometimes even need to divide in order to multiply. You know, I think circles are where real relation... We talked about relationships over and over there again. Circles are where real relational discipleship, disciple-making can happen so much more than it happens in rows. Circles are where everyone is looking to others for love and care, but also to give love and care and discipleship. Now, when I talk about rows, I'm not saying we need to next week put our church hall into circles of chairs. It's a metaphor, guys. What I mean by rows is when we get stuck being a church where many of us are simply sitting in a row as simply as a consumer only rather than a contributor. So it's where the body of Christ becomes to many people a regular or even an irregular Sunday morning here and there, and that's it, rather than a vibrant, engaged community that's on mission for God. So here on a Sunday morning, it might look like rows. And many of us might at times treat it like that in a consumer kind of way. But it can be circles here on a Sunday morning, can't it? Yeah, it might be rows as in that sometimes there's one person preaching up the front or music up the front and that type of thing. But it should be a place of corporate worship. That's a circle. It should be a place of corporate prayer. That's a circle. It should be a place of real fellowship where we're learning from each other, encouraging and loving one another. So here on Sunday can be a circle, but I think the key thing we need to work on as a church is other circles in our church life. And I'll come back to small groups. Small groups, all different sizes, all different flavors, but small groups are probably the most important circles we can have in our church for making and growing disciples. Many questionnaires spoke about people you know, not feeling welcomed properly, not feeling loved, not feeling cared for. Well, small groups do so much of that while also being discipled in God's word, saturated in prayer. Whether that's, you know, a bunch of families meeting in a crowded house, or all the way down to, you know, the two blokes who meet here on a Monday night to read God's word and pray. All different types of small groups. So those are fundamental. And I think it's something we need to be thinking more and more about. And individually, we need to be thinking more and more about. What circle, what small group am I in? But the other circles are also about service. So our ministry areas, the formal but also informal, where we serve on that mission together. It can't be just one person calling the shots. Yes, we have leaders in different things, but they leaders should be more and more focused on actually equipping others to serve. Not just getting kind of minions to do tasks and go on rosters. That's not how church works. So in fact, research has shown that people feel more welcome. People feel more cared for, more loved. They feel more part of the body of Christ when they actually serve together. Not just meet together, but serve together in mission. So it's real fellowship. Where fellowship isn't just having a cuppa after the service. No, real fellowship actually happens. Fellowship means partnership. When we partner together in groups, in these circles, in these teams, in service of Jesus and his mission of making disciples. And that includes prayer as well. I mean, just imagine. We've got to imagine our church as a church where more and more the whole body of Christ is able and willing to contribute, where everyone joins this incredible mission to be disciples and make disciples of Jesus Christ. And I want to say, even if you aren't physically able to do a lot of things that other people are to, everyone can contribute in prayer. Everyone has a part to play, a place to belong in God's family, a being part of circles where you are growing as a disciple, but also being in circles where you are helping others to become disciples more and more. So the question for this morning is, are we invested in that mission for Christ's church? Are we invested in each other's lives, in the care and the discipling of one another? Are we partnering together to reach others around us as well? So I know that's a lot that I've just kind of thrown at you. But before we get into some discussion with one another, and I hope we've got time, how are we traveling? We've got a bit of time. I've got four questions for you to sit there for a minute and reflect on personally. And it's these. What circles, so what relationships are you in that are growing you as a disciple yourself? And the second one is, what circles are you in, so what relationships are you in to help others grow as a disciple? Third question is, well, maybe what circles, what relationships might you need to invest in a little bit more or a lot more? And number four that comes with this, what level of commitment do you need to give to those? Are they just going to be subject to a better offer, or are they going to be commitment to the body of Christ and to his mission? Please spend a minute or two reflecting on that, and spend some time in prayer if you'd like as well.